It's time to start thinking about our biggest fundraiser of the year, the Time, Talent, and Treasure Auction. Our silent auction will start on October 22nd and run through our live auction on Saturday, November 4th. Be sure to save the date and invite your family and friends. With everyone's participation, both donating and bidding on items, this will be very fun and successful. Donations need to be submitted by October 8th. Either email to Lynn Smith or put in the bin in the foyer. Also, our collection today is designated for the Lake Area Free Clinic. All bills and loose coins will be donated to them. If giving a check, please indicate Lake Area Free Clinic on the four line. Today's order of services includes announcements and upcoming LCUUC activities and events, and everyone is welcome to attend. LCUUC is a UUA-affirmed welcoming congregation, and we are open to all people, regardless of whom you love or what pronouns you use. Come and explore what community can mean for you. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence your device, and we will begin. Thank you. May the light and love of our chalice always shine on truth below each surface. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. A few weeks ago, I talked about seeing beauty as a spiritual practice and letting it bring wholeness to our lives. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the other side of that coin. American culture tells us that appearance is important. How do we move beyond the surface of life and focus on the things that matter most? How do we focus on real beauty rather than decoration? How do we search for personal and religious depth and meaning in a culture where your race, your physical ability or disability, your weight, and the degree of adherence to conventional beauty standards all impact you and everyone else? It's a beautiful day, and we're going to explore these questions together. So let's start off with a little moment of shared welcome as we come together to worship. Please say hello or introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. Welcome to Lake Country UU Church. I am not your worship associate, Christy Bowden.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. I am Christy Bowden, and I'm honored to welcome you to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. In this space, you are truly seen, truly appreciated, fully welcomed into the garden of our community, where the simple and the elegant, the fluted and the frilled, the shy and dramatic complement one another, where each of us, in our own way, contributes to the beauty of the whole and to the divine. Whether you are here with us for the day or for a lifetime, we are glad that you are here. Thank you for sharing your beautiful self with us.
One of the ways we help to teach our children be generous is by doing giving ritual with them every week. And that ritual is that we collect food for the local food pantries. So if you've brought food items to share, please bring them forward or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I ask all the children to come on up front. We're going to enjoy a song and a story. So if I could have all the children come up front.
When I was little, where I lived, there was a baking company, the Sunkissed Bakery Company, and they made cookies. So the whole place around the place smelled really good. You go out outside your house, and if the wind was blowing from towards the Sunkissed Bakery Company, it smelled great. And one of the things they had is you can't handle cookies in a factory without dropping some or breaking some or cracking some. And they would have days where you could go to their little store and buy broken cookies. And you could buy a big bag of broken cookies for not very much money. It was a lot less than it cost to buy them. They didn't look quite as good. They weren't perfect like the ones you'd buy in the store, but they tasted every bit as good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a little cookie. Yes, I am. And I was made by the cookie man. And on my way to the cookie can, a little piece broke off of me. Oh, a little piece broke off of me. A little piece broke off of me. But I can taste just as good, as a regular cookie can. Oh, I'm a little chocolate bar, yes I am. And I was made by the chocolate man. And on my way to the candy stand, I got a little bend in me. Oh, I got a little bend in me, I got a little bend in me, But I can taste just as good, as a regular chocolate bar can. Oh, I'm a little Tootsie Roll, yes I am. And I was made by the Tootsie Man. And on my way to the candy stand, I got a little twist in me. I got a little twist in me, But I can taste just as good, As a regular Tootsie Roll can. Oh, I'm a little gumdrop, yes I am. And I was made by the candy man. And on my way to the sugar can, I got a little dent in me. Got a little dent in me, I got a little dent in me, But I can taste just as good, As a regular gumdrop can. Now I'm not perfect, as you can see, but I'll taste good, just wait and see. And I can love just twice as hard as a regular gumdrop can. Why don't you sing this? Oh, I'm a little cookie, yes I am. And I was made by the cookie man. And on my way to the cookie can, a little piece broke off of me. Oh, a little piece broke off of me, A little piece broke off me, but I can taste just as good, as a regular cookie can. Very good.
Who went back to school recently? Yay! Did you all get a new box of crayons when you went back to school? Or did you use last year's crayons? All right, I love that. Well, this is a story about a crayon that has something unique about him. And the book is called Red. Okay, ready? And Kaya and Adia are going to help me here today. He was red. But he wasn't very good at it. What's wrong? Oh, dear, says his mom. His teacher thought he needed more practice. I'll draw a red strawberry, and then you draw a red strawberry. You can really do this. But he really couldn't. Like this? Let's try again. His mother thought he needed to mix with other colors. Why don't you two go out and draw a nice round orange? What happens when you mix yellow and red? It makes orange, right? Orange, right? Made one big greenish messy orange. Yuck! Oops. His grandparents thought he wasn't warm enough. Your class is making self-portraits for parents' night. Wear this red scarf. It'll keep you warm. Ah, it's so nice on you. But it so wasn't. That scarf didn't make him red. Oh, dear me. Everyone seemed to have something to say. Sometimes I wonder if he's really red at all.
Don't be silly. It says red on his label.
He came that way from the factory.
Frankly, I don't think he's very bright.
Well, I think he's lazy.
Right. He's got to press harder.
Really apply himself.
Give him time. He'll catch on.
Of course he will. But he didn't catch on. Green made a green frog. Black made a black sheep. Brown made a brown cow. And red made a red ant? Ah! All the art supplies wanted to help. The masking tape thought he was broken inside. This'll hold you together. The scissors thought his label was too tight. One snip should do it. I thought he wasn't sharp enough. Hold still now. But even with all our help and all our hard work, his red hearts came out blue, his red cherries came out blue, even his red foxes were blue. He just couldn't get the hang of it. One day he met a new friend. Will you help me make a blue ocean for my boat? I can't. I'm red. Will you try? So he did. Thank you. It's perfect. Well, you're welcome. It was easy. And he didn't stop there. He made blue bells and blue jeans and blue birds and a big blue whale. I'm blue! He was red. Wait, blue. And everyone was talking. My son is brilliant.
Who could have known he was blue?
I always said he was blue.
It was obvious.
His blue ocean really lifted me.
All of his work makes me happy.
Blue strawberries are my favorite.
He's so intense.
I'm going to make a green lizard with him. A really big one. And he really was. The end. Thanks for listening. Can I have my, chalice bearer? Lantern bearer?
May the light and love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. And if the rest of you could help me in singing the children out. The song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service. Here in this sanctuary of dreams and wisdom and beauty, we come to grow and to be healed, to stretch mind and heart, to be challenged and renewed and helped in our own continuing struggle for meaning, for love, to help rebuild a world with more justice and mercy in it, to be counted among hopers and doers. In the face of cynicism and darkness, brutality around us and within, we seek to align ourselves with a living community that would affirm rather than despair, that would think and act rather than simply adjust and succumb. Here we invite the spirit of our own humanity and the healing powers under, around, through, and beyond it to give us the nerve and grace, the toughness and the sensitivity to search out the truth that frees and the life that makes all things new. And we can't do these things without financially supporting our church. Many of us give our pledges online or through automatic withdrawal, absolutely. But each week when we come together on Sunday, we give a little more to remind ourselves that generosity is a ritual that is not just for our children. Generosity is a ritual that we have to mindfully take part in every day. So toss in some coins or a few dollar bills. Toss in something bigger if you like, but what matters is that you participate. Our designated collection today is for the Lake Area Free Clinic, which means all loose coins and loose bills and any check with Lake Area Free Clinic written on the memo line will go directly to that clinic. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you for these gifts given and received, and for everything that you do for the life and the work of this church. As the church of the open mind and the loving heart, we are here in part to witness and hold one another, to minister to one another in the moments of our lives where we are the most fragile and the most beautiful. We're a community of human hands and human hearts, and this is the time in the service where we do that. We speak briefly about the good and the bad happening to us and to our world. Before this service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table right there. But during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate lights our candles for us. So if you would like to share a joy or need to have us be with you in holding a concern, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, this is Leanne. I just want to light a candle of joy for this community that I'm part of, and I want to thank everybody for their wonderful thoughts of love and caring and gifts and cards while Dave and I have gone through this difficult week. Thanks.
Hi, this is John. Please light a candle of joy for family accomplishment. My son Marcus, a week ago, completed the Madison Ironman event, and then on last Thursday, my wife Carol did her 49th marathon state in Wyoming, so it was a significant week for us.
Could you light 120 candles, please? One for every year. So I have a twin sister. We both turned 60. You can light just one. But we are smiling at the years that have gone by. We're embracing the years that will surely fly with joy and hope a moment at a time.
This is Jerry. Would you please light a candle of concern? I know seeing the news and the pictures of the devastation from Hurricane Irene, particularly in the U.S. Virgin Islands, like a hydrogen bomb went off. There's nothing left there. Okay, a lot of devastation in Texas and Florida as well. But the U.S. government will find the resources to rebuild in Texas and to rebuild in Florida because there are lots of voters and lots of congressmen there. That is not true in the Virgin Islands, so I don't know what can be done to help them, but something must be done.
This is Carrie. I would like to light a candle of joy for the morning meditation that began this morning that I think will be happening every week at 9 o'clock. So a little group just getting together and meditating. It was really lovely.
I'd like to light a candle of concern for the people and the protesters in St. Louis, Missouri. It's been a rough few days there. And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today.
Our first reading this morning is Map of the Journey in Progress by Reverend Victoria Safford. Here is where I found my voice and chose to be brave. Here is where I found my voice and chose to be brave. Here is a place where I forgave someone against my better judgment, and I survived that unexpectedly, amazingly even. I became wiser. Here is where I was once forgiven, was ready for once in my life to receive forgiveness and be transformed, and I survived that also. I lived to tell the tale. This is the place where I said no more loudly than I ever thought I could, and everybody stared. But I said no loudly anyway, because I knew it must be said. And those staring settled down into harmless, ineffective grumblings. And over me, they had no power anymore. Here is a time, and here is another, when I laid down my fear and I walked right into it, my neck up to the roiling waters. Here is where cruelty taught me to be something. And here's where I first astonished by gratuitous compassion and knew it was for the miracle it was, the requirement it is. It was a trembling time. Here is a place, a murky puddle where I have stumbled more than once and fallen. I don't know yet what to learn there. And here, much later, is where I returned a blessing clumsily. It wasn't hard, but I was unaccustomed. It cycled around, and best I could, I sent it back out, passed the gift along. This circular motion around and around has no apparent end. On this sight, I was outraged, and rage sustains me still. It clarifies my seeing. It's where something caught me, a warm breeze in late winter, birdsong in late summer. Here's where I was told that something was wrong with my eyes, that I see the world strangely. And here's where I said, yes, I know, I walk in beauty. Where I began to look with my own eyes and listen with my own ears and sing my own song, shaky as it is. Here's where, if by surgeon's knife, my heart was opened up, and here, and here, and here, these are the landmarks of conversion. Here ends the first reading.
Spirit of the universe, life force that flows through all beings, power beyond our knowing. We ask you to help us see beyond our dependence on opposites, to transcend our desire to know who is like us and who is not. Open us to the knowledge that in this room there are complexities and diversities of identities, beyond black and white, old and young, woman and man, poor and rich, uneducated and educated, disabled and able-bodied, gay and straight, ill and healthy, wrong and right, broken and whole. In this room, there are people who embody juxtaposition, who can tell stories written on their bodies about being both and neither, who carry intimate pieces of the truth that there is no such thing as opposites. Spirit of many names and no name at all, help us find release from our belief that all things must be either or, that all things must be definable as. This belief that walls us off from one another, ensnaring us in a battle of same versus different. Help us to open our minds, to listen deeply, to truly know one another, to see one another, finally glimpsing the kaleidoscopic beauty of the divine. Please join me in a moment of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
Maya Angelou said, "We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched," said Helen Keller. "They must be felt with the heart." You are imperfect, permanently and inevitably flawed, and you are beautiful, said Amy Bloom. We are cups, constantly and quietly being filled. The trick is knowing how to tip ourselves over and let all that beautiful stuff out. It's from Ray Bradbury. Dorothy Parker once said, "Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone." And Lauren Oliver said, "So many things become beautiful when you really look." Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Ah, never mind. You won't understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. That's Mary Schmick's frustration. "Beauty is not in the face," wrote Khalil Gibran. "Beauty is a light in the heart." Our wounds are often the openings into the best and most beautiful part of us. David Rico. "I am not pretty. I am not beautiful. I am as radiant as the sun," said Suzanne Collins. "People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within." Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She also said, "The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep, loving concern. Beautiful people don't just happen." Thich Nhat Hanh once wrote, "To be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself." Another one from Maya Angelou. "It is time for parents to teach young people early on that in diversity, there is beauty and there is strength." "The flower that blooms in adversity is the rarest and most beautiful of all." Mulan. "Each of us is an artist whose task it is to shape life into some semblance of the pattern we dream about. The molding is not of self alone, but of shared tomorrows and times we shall never see. So let us be about our task. The materials are very precious and perishable." That's from Arthur Graham. John Constable said, "The ability to see beauty is the beginning of our moral sensibility. What we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy." "They shouldn't call it a beauty aisle, that place in the store with all the makeup," said Meg Barnhouse. "Call it the decoration aisle. I know what beauty is. It's not in the store. It's everywhere. May it be above you and below you and all around you." Joan Chittister said, "It's the beauty within us that makes it possible for us to recognize the beauty around us." And from John Donahue, "If you try to view yourself through the lens that others offer you, all you will see are distortions. Your own light and beauty will become blurred, awkward, ugly." Your sense of inner beauty has to remain a very private thing. Whatever may be the tensions and the stresses of a particular day, there is always lurking close at hand the trailing beauty of forgotten joy or unremembered peace. It's from Howard Thurman. It is an absolute human certainty that no one can know his or her own beauty or perceive a sense of his or her own worth until it has been reflected back in the mirror of another loving, caring human being. And that last thought is from John Joseph Powell. Here ends the second reading. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere.
More love somewhere. There is more peace and there is more hope. And I'm going to keep on till I find it because it is out there for me to find. I just haven't found it yet. Activist and model Ebony Davis writes, "A celebration of true beauty is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of freedom and the right to be who you are without fear of being judged. It is a celebration of authenticity and uniqueness. There are 7.5 billion people walking around this earth today. That's 7.5 billion sets of eyes, 7.5 billion noses, mouths, hair textures, skin tones, 7.5 billion stories. 7.5 billion imperfect people wanting nothing more than acceptance and freedom to be as they are and to express themselves. Absolutely. Amen to that. We are all on that same journey. 7.5 billion people who all deserve to live and love in peace and hope, who deserve to be accepted for who they are, who deserve to have their lives and their natural beauty seen and appreciated. Christy just read a quote from John Constable. He said, "The ability to see beauty is the beginning of our moral sensibility. What we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy." What we believe is beautiful, we won't wantonly destroy. And just for a minute, I want you to think about the media in our country. I want you to think about what you are told is beautiful. How many photoshopped women have you seen on magazine covers? Airbrushed perfectly. That's beautiful, right? A waist about this big around where it would snap in half if you poked them. We all look like that, right? And men, muscles about this big. Your arms are actually bigger than your thighs, right? How many times have you seen a beautiful black woman with dark, dark skin and natural hair as a news anchor? How many times have you seen baby dolls with a beautiful Middle Eastern woman with natural hair and tan skin? 7.5 billion people deserve to be accepted for who they are, because what we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy. The media helps to influence us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about appreciating beauty as a spiritual practice, about seeing beauty in all kinds of faces and places, and I had done a lovely slideshow. The moral was direct: see beauty even when the source is perhaps unconventional. Appreciate beauty. Let it show you those moments of wholeness. According to Constable, appreciate beauty and let it keep you from killing someone. Little rough, but I see where he's going. But what impacts our ideas about what is beautiful? What shapes our perception? And how important is it that we see ourselves as beautiful? If finding people beautiful is what keeps us from hating them, harming them, how do we feel about those we find alien or different or downright ugly? How do we feel when we find ourselves that way? All of these questions come back again and again to the differences between deep, true beauty and societally created beauty standards. Our society bombards us with messages every day, all designed to convince us that appearance is important, maybe more important than anything else. And they tell us it's not only important to see beauty, it's important to believe that you are conventionally beautiful as society understands the word. So when I was writing this sermon, I did a Google search on the words body positivity. Have any of you all ever heard that phrase? It's pretty common right now. Being body positive sounds quite cheerful. I got 41 million hits when I Googled it. That's a lot, trust me. Even I couldn't read them all. And quite a few of those hits were great. They were about how beauty can look a lot of different ways, and that sounds pretty promising. So I started looking. And I found out that as a nation, we are currently absolutely in love with loving ourselves. We are radically revisioning the physical human body, at least different groups of us are. And we're moving from a culture that says only the slender white beauty queen and the muscle man are attractive. Aliyah E. Dagster of USA Today said, "With all the attention, it seems now should be a golden moment for the movement of body positivity. But many body positive activists worry that despite its recent ubiquity, the core message, which is acceptance of all bodies, is getting lost. They're concerned that the movement is being co-opted by big brands and diluted by reductive mantras like, oh, just love yourself. Body positivity encompasses much more than the curvy, white, straight, feminine bodies that may occasionally have cellulite or stretch marks and using them as an advertisement. Meghan Trainor is a vocalist, and some of you may have heard her song All About That Bass. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's a fun song. It's a hymn to finding girls with wider assets attractive. And it's a modern-day equivalent to some older and more sexist songs like Queen's Fat Bottom Girls or even Sir Mix-a-Lot's I Like Big Butts. Meghan Trainor is saying, you know, I'm good with myself. I look good. You should think I look good. Nicki Minaj celebrates her own form in her music. And Trainor and Minaj are working to expand the definition of conventional beauty. In her article, Taking Beauty Out of Body Positivity, writer Lindsay King Miller says, even cosmetic companies are getting in on this act. Last year, an ad from Dove Real Beauty campaign took social media by storm, and the viral video, and some of you may have seen this, it showed a police sketch artist who drew two pictures each for a group of women, one where they described themselves and one where their friends or the other person described them. And they marveled at how much more beautiful they were to a stranger than they were to themselves. The ad's statement was ostensibly heartwarming, but King Miller says it didn't sit right with her. Everyone in it was thin and able-bodied, and almost everyone was white. It's hardly a dramatic reversal of conventional beauty standards. And the viral advertisement reminded women that being found beautiful by other people was more important than what they thought. That was the heartwarming part. At the end of the clip, one of the women reflected after seeing the portraits and said, I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts everyone. It couldn't be more critical to our happiness. And these messages sound great, but they're based on a dangerous idea, the idea that everyone on the planet can indeed be conventionally beautiful and that you have to be seen as conventionally beautiful to matter. And they're based on the most horrifying idea of all, that there has to be a standard or a center of physical beauty to measure against. So if seeking beauty is a spiritual practice where you look for the beautiful to help you find moments of wholeness, and the media is telling you that there is only one standard of beauty, the media is impacting your spiritual practice. That's not good. Beauty is important, but we're talking about two different ideas of beauty, and one is vastly more important. True beauty, personal beauty, born of wholeness and inner radiance is important. Seeing that beauty and recognizing it in yourself is important. Seeing that beauty and recognizing it in others, in the environment, in animals is important. Conventional beauty as sold to us commercially is a different issue altogether. Now, I don't want you to answer this out loud, but let me ask you all a question. How many times in your life has someone ever said to you that you were beautiful or pretty or handsome or attractive, and your immediate go-to reaction was, oh, no, I'm not. I see some smiles out there. How many times have you said to someone, you look beautiful or pretty or handsome or gorgeous, and the first thing they said to you is what? What'd they say?
No, I don't.
No, I don't. No, I'm not. They might have even said thank you, but their first go-to was, oh, no, not me. We struggle with these comments in a culture that tells us we should try to be conventionally attractive, but if you tell me I'm beautiful and I say, yes, I know, thank you, Then what are we? There you go. We're an egotistical jerk. There's no way to win that game. It's rigged. I once had someone immediately launch into a list of cosmetics she was wearing when I told her she looked beautiful, as if I was going to ask her to remove them one at a time, and there would be some point in that list where I'd say, oh yeah, that was the one. Now you look like a baboon's backside. Up to that moment, you were beautiful. We've been sold this bill of goods. Reverend Meg Barnhouse says, they shouldn't call it the beauty aisle, that place in the store with all the makeup. Call it the decoration aisle. She's got a point. Now let me ask another question that I don't want you to answer out loud. Think for a minute. Has someone ever said to you some version of, I'm not pretty and I don't care? And so the question is, what was your first reaction? Was it to immediately assure them, I think you're beautiful? Why? And what did you mean by that? Did you mean that you saw in them a deep and spiritual perfection that led you to a moment of wholeness? And don't you dare lie, I'm a minister. Or did you mean, I want to reassure you that you meet our current conventional standard for acceptable appearance? That's what I've usually meant through my life. Opening up conventional ideas of beauty to include people with handicaps, people of color, transgender people who do not pass, people with natural flaws, larger people. That's not wrong. Opening up that conventional beauty, that's not wrong, but it ignores a big problem. Why? Why don't we fight against the idea that beauty is anything but a personal interpretation of what makes us feel momentarily whole when we see it or smell it or hear it? Why don't we fight against the idea that we can be trained to agree on what is beautiful? Expanding a trained behavior is still supporting the removal of freedom. Gia Tolentino, an editor at Jezebel and the Hairpin, wrote an essay called The Beauty Bridge. And in it, she says, these are surface-level concepts of empowerment. Push women around each other on the narrow, precarious beauty bridge. Pit them against one another, rather than suggesting we all just howl like animals and jump right off that bridge. Being seen as beautiful is not the same as having real power. It's not the same as having strength. It's not inclusion in any real sense. When someone says to me, you're fat and that's okay, you got a pretty face, you really do, and I think you're just cute as heck. So what? I'm really okay with not falling into that category. It's not relevant. Nice, but so what? When we are told what to find attractive, our direct connection to awe and wonder in the world is lessened. When we are denied media representation of all types of bodies and looks, we can no longer decide for ourselves what calls us to wholeness because we never see it. We can never find things beautiful that we don't see. Lindsay King Miller says, beauty's always been defined by its opposite. There's no way to excise the concept of ugliness from the concept of beauty or to permanently keep it from being used against us. The prevailing cultural definition of beauty is rooted in hierarchy, racism, misogyny, ableism, homophobia, ageism, cissexism. Instead of fighting for a seat at a table so rife with oppression and violence, wouldn't it be better just to find somewhere else to sit? Thich Nhat Hanh says, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others, you need to accept yourself. Conventional beauty isn't about accepting yourself, it's about accepting others' standards. Conventional beauty isn't important. Pursue it if it makes you happy, if it matters to you as a practice, but don't be defined by it. Recognize that you are somebody, that everyone is somebody with a story and a set of problems and a set of joys and a mind, and that they do not owe the world. You do not owe the world physical prettiness as payment for your existence. I love the words of Arthur Graham that we heard in our second reading. Each of us is an artist whose task it is to shape life into some semblance of the pattern we dream about. The molding is not of self alone, but of shared tomorrows and times we shall never see. So let us be about our task. The materials are very precious and perishable. Life is finite. Don't waste the precious time you have on appreciation of yourself and others purely for their decorative value. John O'Donohoe says, if you try to view yourself through the lenses that others offer you, all you will see are distortions. Your own light and beauty will become blurred, awkward, and ugly. Your sense of inner beauty has to remain a very private thing. And I say, throw away any lens but that of your own heart. Embrace beauty that brings you wholeness, whether it is your own or someone else's. Ignore the shallow waters of media dictate. You are much deeper than that. There is a river of true beauty flowing through your soul, and it's telling you that you are somebody. Take a deep breath and listen. Amen.
May our light shine forever on true beauty in the heart. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 107, There's a River Flowing in My Soul. 1007. Sorry, 1007, that's the teal hymn though. Thank you.
not decoration, so see true beauty as it shines from the heart and soul. Walk in beauty, walk in love, peace, and may it be so.